Mary Reasoner confronted end-of-life choices when she learned she had stage 4 lung cancer.
I made the conscious decision I wasn't going to do anything. When it was my turn to die, I would die.
Monica Anguiano faced the dilemma with her dying father.
And that's just so important because, like I said, we're all going to go through this, and it's good to, for your kids to know what your wishes are and what you need to do.
Such decisions are difficult, and often they must be made when people are least able to handle them. That's why experts say answering the question, how does a loved one prefer to live his or her final days, and putting those wishes in writing is essential. The Pima Council on Aging and the End of Life Care Coalition in Tucson are using National Healthcare Decisions Day Saturday to encourage families to have the conversations and make the decisions before a crisis. Mark Clark is CEO of the Pima Council on Aging and co-chairman of the Elder Alliance in Tucson. He says it's difficult to discuss these questions in the face of a stressful situation for families and patients alike. Mr. Clark dealt with it himself when his mother was near death last year.
And frankly, she never put anything in writing. And I can tell you, in that crazy last 3 weeks of her life, the last 10 days in the hospital, it was very difficult on my sister and my brother and I to try to figure out who she wanted to be her representative to help make decisions if she was not in a position to be able to make those decisions.
He says many factors can create anxieties for families unprepared to deal with such decisions.
Certainly at those end-of-life times, they can magnify the family disturbances or disruptions that have existed maybe for years between siblings and spouses and things like that. So those are challenges.
Troy Comstock with Optum Care Arizona says making a plan is important. Even more difficult, Dr. Comstock says, is getting families to face an uncomfortable reality.
In order to get started, I think it's just important to first of all acknowledge that the conversation needs to happen for the good of yourself as well as your loved ones.
The American Psychological Association suggests putting a focus on the values and beliefs of the person nearing the end of life. It cites two primary principles, individual autonomy and informed consent.
Above all, the conversation and the planning needs to center around the goals of the individual to whom it matters most. And if we don't understand those goals, and if they can't make those decisions with the best information that they have, then I don't think it will be a productive time spent.
Experts say an important part of the decision-making process is that families should formalize their agreements on end-of-life choices. Here's Pima Council on Aging's Mark Clark.
It's important to have it in writing, because if it's not in writing, then the healthcare system won't necessarily follow your wishes and desires.
And Dr. Comstock.
The loved one can have one conversation at one time and with their brother or sister, but then have a separate conversation at another time with another loved one. And people are hearing different things. And so when they come together to try to make that decision based on those conversations, it can become very confusing.
Counselors remind families that time and planning combine to fill hopes and dreams at every stage of life. They say sensitive conversations, discussing the future, and making a plan can also help fulfill the hopes of those facing the end of life.